Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Deere, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Sinai Patrol Town, Libertyville, Texas. Today is August 26, 2016, our Hebrew 24, 2020, we'll start our first service today with a song entitled, Tell Me the Story of Yahshua. Tell me the story of Yahshua, right on my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Oh, how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to Yah in the highest, His and your tidings to her. Tell me the story of Yahshua, right on my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Oh, the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Yahshua, right on my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the cross where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in the story so tender, fairer than ever I see. Still let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Yahshua, right on my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. To the Seven Churches, this is track 15 by V.T. Hodder. This is going to be part one. Prayer thought is going to be taken from Daniel chapter 7. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and man's heart was given unto it. And behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear, it raised up itself on the one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. They said unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels is burning fire. A fire stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man that came with the clouds of heaven, and came unto the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him, the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the thing. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom the three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall break, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and divided of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Okay, that's the end of our prayer thought. What was our main point? We're dealing with the judgment scene in Daniel 7 and 9. I beheld how the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. The Ancient of Days would be Yahweh the Father, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. Okay. Now that's the Father. That's the judgment of the dead, opening up in 1844, Day of Atonement. And then we have verse 13 of Daniel 7. It says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Right, now what kingdom is that? Well, that's the same kingdom that Daniel talked about here in Daniel chapter 2. Let's go read about it. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans unto the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. The answer again said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or a Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that day that they would desire mercy of the Elohim of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Elohim of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the Yahweh forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge unto them that know understanding. If you got understanding, then he'll give you knowledge. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou Elohim of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is an Elohim in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, which shall be in the latter days, the dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, which should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known unto thee which shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed unto me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of the brass, his legs of the iron. Okay, it says, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest a tail that is stone, was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Now, Nebuchadnezzar saw clear up to 2002. when this prophecy made its fulfillment about this stone, this little stone. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the Elohim of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. We know that kingdom of brass is Alexander. We know that first kingdom inferior unto Babylon was the Medes and the Persians, by Cyrus and Darius. This is where we're at today. We're in that second kingdom of Cyrus and Darius. Okay, now I said, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. So we're going to have a reign of the second kingdom, which is Cyrus and Darius. This is Donald Trump and his vice president, Michael Pence. They represent this Cyrus and Darius today. Okay, there's going to be a third kingdom arise after them, which is going to be antitypical Alexander the Great. Now watch this. We're going to go through those four beasts again. We're going to replicate those four beasts again in these last days. Again, that fourth beast, which Daniel saw in vision, representing pagan Rome, is going to finally at last triumph again, and appear for a short season to rule over all the earth again. So we got a little time in front of us. We got a time of trouble like the never was since there was a nation that is coming up right now, that's forming, and we better get ready. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with mire clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, okay, this part of iron is pagan Rome again, and this clay is the house of Israel. So, the Adventist Church have allowed the Catholic Church to send those Jesuits to come in and infiltrate and take over the Adventist Church, causing this here to meet its fulfillment. Okay? So the kingdom, that's this kingdom that's mixed with iron and clay, which would be the Seventh-day Adventist Church, shall be partly strong and partly broken. Okay, so when the Adventist Church was in operation, it was partly strong and partly broken. What made it partly broken? The Catholic Church that had infiltrated there. Okay? And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the mire of clay, they shall not mingle themselves with the seed of men. So the Adventist Church has not been able to mingle itself with the seed of men, with the remnant of all the different nations. Okay? But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. And in the days of these kings, and so that would be in the 12th hour now, this is where we're at right now, shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom. Okay, so now these kings, right now, these 10 horns on this beast, representing these kings that it's talking about here. They're right now, they have their power and rulership 1 hour with the beast. Their hour is just about up. Which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. For the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your Elohim is an Elohim of gods, and a king of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Now get this in mind. So we're going to have a repeat of this. It's antitypical. Daniel is going to rule over the whole province of Babylon again. So who is this antitypical Daniel? None other but this master prophet, Jezreel, the oldest sibling of Hosea. Now remember, the three siblings, Jezreel, Lo-Ruhama and Ruhama, or Ami and Lo-Ruhama. Anyway, it was those three had older sibling, Jezreel. He had a younger brother and a younger sister. And this antitypical Jezreel is going to rule over the whole province of Babylon again. Alright, now if you want to say that the antitypical Cyrus, which is Donald Trump, he's going to rule over Babylon, because he's going to overthrow Babylon in these last days, and he is going to become the king over Babylon. But can we make him an antitypical Daniel? I don't think so. But Daniel the prophet, he's the one that served Cyrus and Darius. He's the one that served Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He served Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. So it says, then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel is made the ruler over the whole province of Babylon. In other words, the province of Babylon, however far it reached at that time. That's what Daniel was made ruler over. Okay, that ends chapter 2 of Daniel. The seven seals, the signs of the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of Yahweh, and of the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1, 1 and 3. Yahshua Messiah gave the revelation to show unto his servants things which were shortly to come. Revelation 1:1, to prepare the way for the vision of the things. The voice introduced the subject for the special message unto each of the seven angels, leaderships. He had charge of the seven candlesticks, churches, respectively. These messages are recorded in chapter 2 and 3. Have we seen this before? The seven churches, the seven angels. The seven angels had charge of the seven churches, of the seven candlesticks. Okay. So these angels, the leadership, they have charge of the seven candlesticks, the churches, which is the house of Israel, respectively. So Verlus was the seventh angel, 2002, and his charge came to an end for leadership. So he was one of the seven angels that had charge of a candlestick of Israel. And Laodicea also had the seven seal, belonged exclusively unto Laodicea. Next was John led to see the solemn proceedings of the series of events. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a little trumpet talking with me, which said, come hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in the white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of the Yahweh. So now, Yahweh has seven spirits. Yahweh the Father, he has seven spirits. And he assigned each one of those seven spirits unto the seven churches, unto the seven angels of the seven candlesticks. He assigned a spirit to them, one of his spirits. Brother Johnson had the seventh spirit. He was in charge of the seventh candlestick, let us hear. Keep that in mind. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. Yes, sir. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Yahweh Elohim Almighty, talking about the Father, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. And this is the Father, Yahweh the Father, sitting on the throne. and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. So this is the Father. They're saying that He hath created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the back side sealed with the seven seals. Okay, so I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the back side sealed with the seven seals, which represents the seven churches of Asia, which is the house of Israel. Okay. And I saw let's name the seven churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto Elohim by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation 4:5. The literal fulfillment of these things was to be hereafter, after John's vision. That is, in John's day, these solemn proceedings had not as yet taken place, nor were they then taking place. But they were to take place sometime after the vision, after the first century. Just how soon or how long thereafter, though, it was not revealed unto John. He was taken in the vision to see and to write those eventful things which were to take place at the time of the judicial-like throne of the Revelation 4 and 5, should actually convene and unto the other things, the things which follow as a result of the event, assured he who has the keys of hell and death, and of the death, some were and some were to be, Revelation 1:19, that is, when this divine throne convenes, then some of, it says, and when this divine throne, it's supposed to be throne, T-H-R-O-N-E, they got throne here. Then some of the things that are brought to view as a result of the event are already written, history, while some of them are yet prophecy. Some point back and some point forward. The first and the most important thing that takes place in this solemn assembly is the opening of the book. It should be remembered, too, that the book is sealed with the seven seals. Revelation 5:1. It being in the seven sections, each section individually sealed. Seven seals in all are consecutively broken. Seven seals. Permitting each section to unfold its own content. The first seal or section of the book discloses the things of Revelation. 6:2. The second, the things of verse 4. The third, the things of verse 5. And 6, the fourth, the things of the verse 8. The fifth, the things of verses 9 to 11. The sixth, the things of verse 12 to 17. And of chapter 7. The seventh, the things of chapter 8 to 22. That the seventh seal contains chapters 8 to 22 is immediately seen by the fact that each chapter is connected with the conjunction, and in other words, the revelation saved for the first five chapters is but a reproduction of the things which were on record within the seal, and which as a result of the breaking of the seal were pictorially displayed in John's sight. Now, truth clearly points out that the revelation is not made up of something which originated in the John's vision, but that it is made up of the things which the sealed book contained and which were then made known, since the writings of the John record the things which the revealed book revealed. But the insistence that seals were broken, inspiration entitled them the revelation, the sealed things unsealed, the secret things revealed. The basic points in chapters 4 and 5, the chapters of the four quoted are these. Number 1, that a door was opened, not on earth, but in heaven. Number 2, that as John looked in, he beheld one sitting on a throne. Number 3, that a book sealed with the seven seal was in his right hand. Number 4, that the book was then unsealed, and as a result, John was panoramically shown its content, and that his writing them gave us the revelation. That there were also other books, Revelation 20:12, and that although they were not sealed, John was not led to see what was written in them. The 24 elders, let's do that again, that there were also other books, Revelation 20:12, and that although they were not sealed, yeah, okay, John was not led to see what was written in them. That 24 elders were sitting around the throne. That the Lamb also called a lion, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels were around about the throne. That was including the Lamb. The Lamb was one of these, which represents Yahshua the Messiah. that there were four beasts, seven lamps of fire, candlestick, and the sea of glass. That the voice very emphatically made known unto John that he was being given a glimpse of a prophecy or a prophetic event that was to take place at the later date. Hereafter, from his time, somewhere after the first century. For the literal fulfillment of these things was to be hereafter, after John's vision. That is, in John's day, these solemn proceedings had not as yet taken place. Nor were they then taking place, but they were to take place sometime after the vision, after the first century. Just how soon or how long thereafter, though, was not revealed unto John. He was taken in vision to see and to write those eventful things which were to take place at the time that the judicial-like throne of Revelation 4-5 should actually convene, as to the other things, the things which follow as a result of the event, assured he who has the keys of hell and of death, somewhere and somewhere to be Revelation 1:19, that is, when this divine throne convenes, then some of the things that are brought to view as a result of the event are already history, while some of them are yet prophecies. Some point back and some point forward. Okay, looks like we're doing a little review there. Let's go now to fast forward now to the revelation, the sealed things unsealed, the things sealed revealed. The basic point in chapters 4 and 5 four-quoted are these. Number one, that a door was opened, not on earth but in heaven. Number two, that as John looked in, he beheld one sitting on a throne, and that a book sealed with the seven seals was in his right hand. That the book was then unsealed, and as a result, John was panoramically shown its contents, and that his writing and them gave us the revelation. That there were also other books, Revelation 20, verse 12, and now although they were not sealed, John was not led to see what was written in them. We're doing some review yet. That 24 elders were sitting around the throne. That the Lamb also called the lion, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels were round about the throne. That there, number eight, that there were four beasts, seven lamps of fire, candlestick, and the sea of glass. And number nine, that the voice very emphatically made known unto John that he was being given a glimpse of a prophetic event that was to take place at a later date hereafter from his time, somewhere after the first century. Psalms 45:14. That John's vision is a forecast of the same event as that revealed unto Daniel. Chapter 7 is quickly seen from the following brief comparison. Alright, remember we had read Daniel 7 for our prayer thought. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, verse 9. That's in Daniel's vision. And in John's vision, he said, I saw thrones, Revelation 20, verse 4. And in Daniel's, verse 9 of chapter 7, and the Ancient of Days did sit. And in the Revelation, one sat on the throne, Revelation 4, 2. Number three, in Daniel, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, verse 10. and number three in Revelation, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, Revelation 15:2. Number four in Daniel's vision. We're in Daniel 7 now. One like the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. That's in verse 13. And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts stood a lamb. And in Daniel 7:10, the books were open. In Revelation 20:12, and the books were open. Daniel 7:10, 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Revelation 5:11, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Daniel 7:10, the judgment was set and the books were open. Revelation 20, verse 12, the hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14:7. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according unto their works. Revelation 20, verse 12. Both seers distinctly declare that the event which they saw was a judgment. The difference between the two scenes is that Daniel was led to look into the sanctuary while the preparations were being made for the judgment to convene, whereas John was led to look into the sanctuary after the judgment had been set up. In fact, John not only saw the judgment in the progress, but he saw the whole proceedings from start to finish. So John the Revelator saw the scene of the 144,000. For example, Daniel saw the things while the thrones were being placed around or set up, and while the Ancient of Days was moving from the administrative throne, the throne upon which Yahshua sat at the Father's right hand, Revelation 22:1, to the judicial throne, the throne and the sanctuary. Then it was that the one like the Son of Man came, and they brought him near before the Ancient of Days, which was in the sanctuary of the throne now, Daniel 7:13. Not at his right hand, but those who were to sit on the other thrones, seats, which were then cast down, set up, were not yet come. When John looked in, though, he saw the 24 elders already sitting on the throne. Daniel saw the one like the Son of Man while he was being born near before the Ancient of Days, but John saw him after he had been brought there. Under John, his appearance was like a lamb, and one of the elders called him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Obviously, he is the Son of Man, the Savior, the King of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah. Besides these, John also saw the four beasts there in the candlestick and the book while it was being opened. To repeat, Daniel saw only a part of the preparations, whereas John saw the opening of the judgment and the entire proceedings thereafter. For the judicial throne, inspiration makes known consists of a judge, the Ancient of Days, of witnesses, the angels, of an advocate, the lamb, of a jury, the elders, of the defendants, the beast, and of their rulers, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That the four beasts are a symbolic representation of the saints, just as the beasts of Daniel 7 are symbolical of the nation, is made clear by the beast's own statement, "For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto Yahweh by thy blood, and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation," Revelation 7:5-9. The student of the advancing truth will also note that Daniel refers unto but one judicial session. Although he does make mention of the judgment twice, first in verse 10 of chapter 7 and second in verse 22, This will be seen in the following 8 paragraphs. In the first 14 verses, Daniel describes all he saw while in vision. And in verse 15, he explains how grieved and troubled he became after considering the damaging work which the fourth beast did. Then in verse 16, he tells that he approached the angel who stood by and requested his interpretation of the thing seen. In compliance with this request, the angel answered, "These great beasts which are four are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Daniel 7:17. Okay, and 18. This exceedingly brief interpretation did not satisfy Daniel, and being particularly interested to know in detail the things described in verse 7 to 14, the truth concerning the judgment as well as concerning the fourth beast and his little horn that had the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, Daniel requested further elucidation, again, of necessity mentioning the judgment. Accordingly, the angel readily explained, confining his interpretation strictly unto the fourth beast symbolization and to the judgment. Daniel 7 shows these two beasts here. Point. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." That's exactly what the fourth beast is doing right now. We're meeting our fulfillment right now. This is pagan Rome, the fourth beast. It's that beast that has 7 horns on it and 1 horn head representing the Catholic Church. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And he shall be given into his hand until the time and times and divided of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7:23-27. This is the kingdom of David that we're talking to you right now. Yahweh has placed us in charge of. Okay, this brings the end of our study for right now. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Dusty Roads and Sandal Feet by Elijah Davis. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads with you and me. Often prostrate and prone, dead his burden all alone, as he journeyed along that road to Calvary. Dusty roads and sandal feet, all the journey was complete, from the manger to the cross. Through those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. Author of the story, Dusty Roads and Sandal Feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't be. Change the water into wine, cast that demon, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads
with his companion there's a place in Hildebrand. Stand low, people often hear me underneath a heavy load. There took the painting as he went along the way, on the way to Mount Calvary and the judgment day. Dusty Rose, Dunlopy, how would you like to meet that man named Joshua coming down your street? Would you be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would you be like Jonah who wanted to flee? Dusty Rose, Dunlopy, all the day he was complete, from the manger to the cross. Peter's golden street to a place in that land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, Dusty Rose Sandalfi. The author of the story, Dusty Rose Sandalfi.